Well, the first thing I do is I go to a mountaintop here in northern Indiana and meditate. No, in all seriousness, I'm not really sure. I might be going grocery shopping, or I might be at home watching TV, or I might be just walking through the neighborhood, and something will just come to mind, and I'll go, hey, that could be an interesting topic. And I always try to save that piece for the end, obviously, and it allows people an opportunity if they're listening or writing it down or checking it out with their family to try to gather those materials. I try to find things that are fairly easy to get from home and then do an experiment associated with that topic.
It sounds like there's a lot of inspiration there, a lot of art to the science, almost.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, if I can get people, it's, in this 3, 3.5, 4 minute piece, if they can, one, learn a couple of facts and figures, that's great. That's fantastic. That's powerful. Okay, that's the science part. Two, if they can make that real world connection between what they hear in that weekly experiment and what they see in their day-to-day lives, now we're start that's even more powerful. That's good. And now we're starting to straddle, I guess, that science and art piece. But then three, if they can turn off that segment and go, wow, science is fun. I can become a scientist. I can learn more about science. If they take it to that next level, there we go. That's the most powerful. That's what leads to a lifelong interest, a lifelong learning of science. Doesn't matter if they're a student or an adult.
Let's talk a little bit about science education,
Yes.
if you don't mind. You're the executive director of Science Central. You've been there for how long now?
Little over 7 years, about 7.5.
I'm curious, do you think it's harder to keep kids engaged now than, say, when Science Central was started, or are kids just kids?
Kids are kids. If you have something fun and entertaining and educational, they're going to be enthralled by it. When you first see a school group that comes in, unless you've got, the iron fist teacher who has really coordinated their field trip from exhibit to program to exhibit, you see what looks like almost the pinball effect. The kids come in and they're kind of going all over the place. And again, if you make the mistake of not watching those kids and just assume that, oh, they're not getting anything, they're just bouncing from exhibit to exhibit to exhibit. That's true. However, what they're doing is they're getting a mental image, a sight map inside of their brain. Where are things? What's the layout? What are the activities? And then you'll find if you've been following that group or that even an individual student, they go back to the exhibits that were of interest to them. And they spend far more in-depth and in-breath time and experience at that particular exhibit or exhibits. Kids are going to be interested. They're going to be excited. No different now from when I started 30 years ago.
Kids are still interested in science, and they're still gonna, if
Yep.
presented with that opportunity,
You got it.
you think they're gonna continue to find their way to it.
They will. They're having fun. And I'm going to take it a step further. It's not just the kids, it's the adults as well. All right. So you've got, let's see, I'm making this up, mom, dad, and the 2.3 kids. So the kids are at the exhibit. Mom and dad are standing behind them. Dad has his arms folded. Dad's watching the kids who are in front of him. A minute later, dad's stepping forward. He's moving a little closer. Keep watching, dad. And dad's putting his arms down. Keep watching. Dad's now right beside his kids. Keep watching. Dad has just pushed his kids out of the way so dad can now use the exhibit. I have seen that exact same scenario play out. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Hundreds, probably thousands of times over the years. So, dads, if you're out there listening right now, please make sure not to elbow your kids too hard when you want to get to the exhibit and try it out yourself.
So we're always hearing about budget cuts in schools. Suddenly music is getting cut, or science programs are getting cut, things like that. Because of that, do you think kids are getting even more out of the science center? Do you think the science center is playing a bigger role in these kids' science education these days?
Well, I think, first of all, that students are able to, they're not able to go on as many field trips. I do believe that the students, even with these fewer field trips, are getting just as much out of it. We've already talked about that. We've already talked about the value and the interest that they have. The thing that's important is we are not a replacement for what the teachers are presenting and teaching in the classroom. We're a complement. We're helping. We're assisting the teachers with what they're providing and presenting in the classroom. Why do I say that? Well, the teachers are doing a phenomenal job teaching science and teaching the state standards. They've got the textbooks, they've got the materials, and they're working with the kids day in and day out. But let's be realistic. If a teacher is trying to teach something about electricity, they probably don't have a 5-foot-tall, 750,000-volt electrostatic generator capable of putting out sparks 1.5 feet long. Science centers do. If a teacher is going over temperature and states of matter in the classroom, they probably don't have access to liquid nitrogen or gaseous hydrogen to be able to talk about cryogenics and combustion. Science centers do. So we're able to, in a very fun and exciting and hands-on approach, help the teachers to explain those concepts to their students.
We're running out of time here, Martin, but...
No, stretch it out. This is fun.
Well, here's the blank check question. So this could be a lot of fun. I mean, if you could do something here in Fort Wayne to help get more kids into the sciences, to help get them more excited about this field of study and the wonders of the world around them, what do you think it would be?
Science Central is in a really interesting building. We're in a 1929 power plant, City Light and Power. When you drive by the building, you go, wow, it's a pretty large building. It is. You get inside of the building and you go, wow, that's a pretty large building. And it is. But here's the kicker. Most people don't realize it. The building's almost an optical illusion from both the outside and the inside, just because of the layout of the building. We only use half the building. That's it.
Wow.
We only use half the building. Half the building is developed with exhibits, program areas, classrooms, demonstration areas, offices. The other half of the building is raw, untapped, and unused. So if I wanted to make a bigger impact on this community, this region, and the students and the adults that are going through, what would I want? I would want to have the funding to be able to expand into that raw, untapped, and unused portion of the building to double in size, double our impact, and double the information that we're providing and teaching. That would be the approach I would take.
Thank you so much for working with us for so long here, Martin. And here's to another 200 episodes. Martin Fisher is Executive Director of Science Central in Fort Wayne. He's here celebrating 200 episodes of The Weekly Experiment, which you can hear every weekend right here on WBOY. Martin, thank you so much again. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.